Now, Lord, we would ask that you would speak to us through your word. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. How it illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, decaying, fallen world. God, as we're swimming upstream against culture that's saying, do your own thing and get out of the way, all you Christians, we're tired of this God stuff, Lord. But your word tells us what to do, where to go, what to say, how to think, how to act. It tells us that times like this would come, Lord. It tells us to stand. After doing all we could to stand, then continue to stand. So, Lord, let us study to show ourselves approved as we get into your word. Speak to our hearts now. Challenge, convict, change, comfort our hearts, Lord, as you speak to us through your word. So we want to live this thing, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Empower us to live this, to tap into that power source that we have within us to live this. Bless your word. Bless your people, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn to Daniel chapter 3. We are going to try and finish up. We started this on Youth Sunday a couple of Sundays ago. Then somebody disappeared and wasn't here. And oh, then we had the first Sunday. And so we're going to continue this message from the Youth Sunday. And make a note that these three young men were teenagers. And make a note that teenagers can change the course of history. The work that Brother Raymond and Sister Brandy, they do with our youth. And the youth that are here know that these teenagers changed the course of history. Teenagers, you can change the course of history for your life, your school, for this city, for this community. Don't let anyone say you're too young to serve God. And it won't make a difference. It makes a huge difference. So let's pick up. We'll do a quick review. And then we'll go ahead and get into the message, or continue the message. So let's start at Daniel 3 and 15. King Nebuchadnezzar had called the young men to come, and he's given them a second chance. Somebody's going to try and give you a second chance. First note, someone's going to try and give you a second chance to compromise this week. You thought it was over. You thought you had gotten rid of them, but you're going to get a call. You're going to get a text. You're going to get something. And somebody's going to offer you a second chance to compromise this week. Be ready for it. Stand your ground. Whether you're a youth or not, somebody's going to offer you a second chance to compromise. Verse 15. Now, if you be ready, I'm going to give you a second chance to compromise what God's called you to do. At what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you should have music underlined. Remember, you put music together, you put the right mood with music, you put some pressure on somebody, and 90% of the people will give in. Brother Marshall, you weren't here, but we already talked about how we used to do it in the old days. Not you, but you know, you invite somebody over and put on some Luther Vandross or some Teddy Pendergrass. And say, I just want to talk. Not you, but we used to do that, Brother Marshall. I'm not going to talk about your first date with Miss Trina. Amen. She didn't know she was getting set up when you put that song on. She didn't know she was being invited to the fiery furnace. But with the music and a little pressure, most people will give in. And 28 years later, she's still here. And all kinds of music. Underline all kinds of music. Most of us like different kinds of music. Somebody say amen. This is nothing new. We talked about when you go to the store, you get on the elevator, you're watching TV, you're watching a movie. You can tell in the movie when the scene shifts because the music kind of either goes up or it goes down. You can tell what's going to happen before it happens by the music. nothing new. The enemy has always used music. If you get a chance, read Isaiah chapter 14. And it talks about how Satan I was kicked out because he wanted to be like the Most High, how he was in charge of music in heaven. And it says that he was sent down to hell with his music. That's Isaiah 14. And remember, the purpose of this isn't not for you to go home and burn your albums and all that kind of stuff. It's for you to understand that we're in spiritual warfare and music is a huge part of it. Amen. I listen to the radio on purpose now just to listen to the music to see what type of mood it puts people in and puts me in. And then you could tell music has an effect. That's my song. That's hey now, that's my song. It changes everything. People lose their mind when they song come on. You talking to somebody, the music, oh, hey, that's my song. We trying to have a conversation. You got to wait till their song go off to finish talking to them. So it's nothing new. So just be aware how music is used. Be aware of it as we're fighting this spiritual warfare. So he said, I'm going to play the music, and then at that same hour, in the midst of the burning fiery furnace, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful. We don't even think about it. This is a no-brainer. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve. This is their last will and testimony. Because they're saying, dude, you can kill us and God's going to deliver us. And if not, God delivers through death. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's why Paul told us we don't have to sorrow as those that don't have hope when someone in Christ passes away. They transition because God has delivered them through death. Yes. Either way, they're delivered. We win. It's a win-win with Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. We don't lose with Christ. We win. Even in death, we're just delivered to him. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So their last will and testament is, I trust God. I believe God. I'm sold out to God. I'm going to serve God. I'm not going to worship the false idols. That's what we got to say about this. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, got upset, and the form of his visage was changed. He's no longer playing games now. Notice when you take a stand for Christ, people kind of change. They change towards you. When you take a stand, people change. So he was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times than it was already heated. So now it's 7 times as intense. Your situation is 7 times as crazy, is 7 times as tempting, 7 times more bizarre, more crazy, more difficult, is 7 times. How do you handle it? Do you still stand for God when it gets that heated? When he's coming on that strong, ladies, when she's coming on, men, that strong. When the bills are paid and you have no money and somebody offers you a way to compromise. And it's 7 times more crazy than what you've dealt with, and it's 7 times more difficult. You're 7 times more in debt than you were last year, and somebody says, hey, here's the easy way out. Just roll with me. I got you. I'll take care of you. But I need you to do this, though, and I need you to do that when I call you. And it's 7 times crazier. How do you stand then? The test comes when we step out of these doors. Sunday, right here, I'm strong. Praise the Lord, brothers, sisters. I'll just walk away, Marquise. That's what I'll do. I'll tell them, Chris, I love God. I trust God. It's easy to say now. But what about Wednesday when you've been beat up a couple of days on Monday and Tuesday? And now they're asking you and you're thinking about it. And they got the music in the background. And now all of a sudden it's really not that bad. That's the true test, Sister Natalie. That's the true test. John, you already know. It's a true test. How do we handle it? tough. This is the toughest thing I've ever done, is to try and live this. As I'm ministering and to you all and I'm studying this, God is speaking to me. You can't get up and talk this. You can, but if you're not walking this, you can't get up and start talking this stuff. You got to live this to teach this. In Corinthians, it said if you preach the gospel, you have to live of the gospel. You can't be just talking it and living raggedy. And this is real life stuff. Verse 20, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach. Notice they allowed themselves to be bound up. Make a note. They didn't run away. They didn't try and fight. They just said, man, this is it. This is it. This is the way it is. They allowed themselves to be bound up. When the king called them and said, well, I need to talk to you about your stance, they came. They were obedient even to an ungodly king. So the only time they took a stand was when he told them to go against God. Make a note. So when your ungodly boss is telling you to do your job, you got to do your job. But if they tell you to do something that compromises your Christian walk, that's when you say, you know what? I can't do that. But if he says you go sweep that floor, that's not my job. That's not a problem. You don't need a special anointing to sweep a floor. Do your job. But when he tells you, I need you to lie and I need you to steal and cheat and say this, and you say, no, what, boss, I can't do that. Well, I might have to fire you. Get it? Fire, fiery furnace. Okay, all right. Anyway, I might have to fire you, but I trust God, then, man, I'm not going to compromise. Even if it means me losing this job. Now, I'll sweep the floor. I'll take out the trash. Even that's not my job description. I'll do all that. But when you tell me to go against God, I got to take a stand. So when he told him to amen, when he told him to come, when he told him to stay there, when he told him to get bound, they say, cool, do what you got to do. Worship the image. I ain't doing it. I'll do everything you tell me to. But when you tell me to compromise God, I ain't doing it. I'm trusting God. Verse 22, therefore, because the king's command was so urgent and the furnace exceeding hot. Boy, your situation is exceeding. Anybody ever been in an exceeding hot situation? Once or twice, somebody say amen. The flame of the fire slew the men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember, make a note. Make sure you're working for the right king. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound. Underline, they fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, rose up in haste and spoke and said unto the counselors, did we not cast three men into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, yo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. When you're in the midst of the fire, do people see you walking with Jesus? It's a question. What do they see? How do they see you handling it when you are in the midst of the fire? It says they have no hurt in the form of their, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. So look at the picture. They fell down bound, and I'm sure they worship God. God, I trust you. And next thing you saw them, they walked around loose with God. Something about that worship. In the midst of the fire, you still got to worship. You got to trust God in the midst of the fire. They fell down bound, and then they were worshiped God, gave it all to God, and were loose with Christ. So they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Jesus is with them. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God. Look how the narrative has changed. Come forth. And come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fiery furnace. All right. So here they are in the furnace. Make a note, right? We're getting ready to get some revelation knowledge right here. He calls them out. They're still obedient to this ungodly king, even in the midst of the fire. In the midst of your fire, you still got to be obedient. You still got to be submitted. As long as it's not telling you to go against God, he told them to come out, and they did. They could have said, man, forget you. I'm not dealing with you. God has delivered me, man. You need to get out of my face. I'm not doing anything you tell me to do. Even in the midst of the fire, okay, two things. They were submitted. Well, four things. They were submitted in the midst of the fire. So here you go. You got to be submitted. You got to be obedient. You have to be forgiving. I knew I would lose you on that. Submitted, obedient, forgiving, and then listening. You still got to listen for the king's voice, Sister Merlin, in the midst of the fire. They still heard the king's voice in the midst of the fire. You got to be submitted, obedient, forgiving. You can't be bitter, because if they bitter, I'm not doing nothing you say. And I, matter of fact, I hate you. Don't even talk to me. But because they were submitted, obedient, forgiving, and listening, they came out. All right, so here we go. All right, verse 27. And then the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors being gathered together, underlined, saw these men. Not just anybody, they saw these men. All right, so here we go. Here's three other initials I got to give you. It's called BDA. For those of you taking notes, all right? It's people watching you before, during, and after your trial. It's people watching you before, during, and after. They saw them before. That's how they knew they didn't worship the golden image. Because they're watching them. And say, hey, these guys, they're not doing it. And they saw them during the middle of the fire and saw Jesus with them. And then they saw after. Didn't have no hurt. And God was with them. You know, they say that sometimes our life. See, these men, the princes and the counselors and the king, they weren't reading the Torah. They weren't reading the word. The only Bible they saw was those three men. And it changed their life. What people say, you're the only Bible some people will ever read, because they're watching you before, during, and after. Some people are not going to pick up that Bible, but they'll see you going through the trial and how you handle it. And they'll want to know how and why and what do you serve. So BDA, before, during, and after, but it's also Believer's Daily Advertisement. There you go. You're advertising, as a believer, you're daily advertising who you really are and what you really believe. I knew I wouldn't get too many on that. My wife and I, when we're doing our premarital counseling and all that kind of stuff, and we're telling couples that we are a reflection of how Christ loves the church. The way this relationship is the way that Christ loved the church. You have to make God look good. Yes. Within your marriage. You think it's about you, but it's not about you. It's about you making God look good. These three men, they thought it was about them, but it's really not about them. This is really more about the king getting saved. Yes. So your trial is more about somebody else getting saved than you going through it. Yeah. Make another note, too. This is another example, another principle of. It's hard to say this, but it's true. That bad things happen to good people. All these young men were doing was serving God. And got through in the fire. Because they loved God. That's all they were doing. All Joseph was doing was talking about his dream and got thrown into prison. Daniel, all he was doing was sharing his dream. Look at Daniel 6. Natalie, take us to Daniel 6 and 3 really quickly. It's just right next door to Daniel 6 and where we are. Daniel 6 is right next door to Daniel 3. Verse 6 and 3, did I say that? Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because, why? An excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Go back to Daniel 3. All he did was had an excellent spirit and got through in the lion's den. Unfortunately, bad things happen to really good people. We live in a fallen, broken world. Pastor, why did this happen? Why did that happen? We live in a fallen world. We live in a broken world. And unfortunately, we've seen it in our own lives. Bad things happen to good people. That's why it's so important for us to stay close to Christ. Because it's not the situation, it's not for us. Even in John chapter 9, they asking Jesus, who sinned? This man was born blind. Who sinned? Him or his parents? He said, it's not about that. It's about so God could be glorified. God, why am I going through this crazy situation right now? It's not about you. Get out of yourself. It's not about you. Somebody needs to see you before, during, and after and dedicate their life to Jesus. It's really not about you and I. We want it to be. Jesus said he endured the cross because of the joy that was set before him. It was about him, but he saw the joy that was set. He saw us being saved. So I said, while we were sinners, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It was about him, but it was about us. It was about us being saved. All the pain that he had to go through. Talking about bad things happen to good people. They don't come any better than Jesus Christ. He got beat and killed, but he resurrected that third day for us. To seek and to save those that were lost. And we want to complain when we go through stuff like, I'm so good. It's not fair. Favorite word of some teenagers I know. It's not fair. No, it's not. But it's not about you. It's about God showing himself through you in the midst of your fiery furnace. Verse 27, 3 and 27. Let's wrap this up. First closing, amen. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men. Man, what a time for us to step up now. Who's going to see us? And when they see us, what are they going to see us doing? How are they going to see us reacting? How are they going to see us handling the situation? How are they going to see us handling the fiery furnace? How are they going to see us handling our marriages, handling our kids in the midst of things, man? What are they going to see in us? Are they going to see Christ with us or not? Upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair on their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. And then look at the shift when it shifts to Nebuchadnezzar. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Huh. What? Why? Whom has sent his angel. It sounds like the king knew something about God but wanted to worship an image. Just like we know about God, but we got to get a money. We got to get some money. We got to get a house. We got to get a car. We got to get to this status. We know something about God. And then it just takes something and someone to take a stand to change things. People know about God, but if we're not taking a stand, we don't make God look like there's anything to it. Who an angel delivered his servants that trusted in him. So make a note. Look at that revelation. That our deliverance is based on our trust in God. How do you get delivered? You got to trust God. I had a speaking engagement Friday night, and I was talking to a guy, and he was sharing how he was in a 12-step program. And I told him how I'd been delivered from drugs almost 30 years ago, 29 years ago to be exact. And that's why when you're out ministering to people, you don't know why you've had to go through stuff and been delivered. But I tell you, but we've all been delivered from something, or we're all still dealing with something. Whether it's drugs, alcohol, sex, pornography, greed, selfishness. Amen. Either you've been delivered or you're struggling or you just say, I'm surrendered to it. So we keep it 100. Amen. Amen. I was telling him, he said, did you go through the 12 steps? I said, no, I just took one step toward Jesus. I don't knock it because I know that's relevant and people need that. But when you're sick and tired and you're sick and tired and you get into this and you praying and you worshiping, he asked me, he said, did you take 12 steps? I said, no, I just kind of took one step. But you got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. Because can't nobody deliver, heal, and set free like Jesus. That's what the king saw. And everything that Jesus did, the image couldn't do. That golden image can't hear, can't deliver, can't heal, can't set free. Money can't deliver, it can't heal, it can't set free, it can't get you into heaven. Everything that he thought the image was, God showed him, it's not. That image couldn't do nothing. A dead image. Family, do not worship dead images or people. Worship the true and living God. Nobody, King said, nobody can heal and deliver and set free like this. And sometimes we want to put people on a pedestal in our culture. This is totally counterculture. We want to lift up the stars and celebrities. Those are dead images, family, I'm telling you. They're not going to heal. They're not going to deliver. They're not going to set free. And we appreciate and we congratulate and we celebrate. But we don't worship nothing else but the true and living God. Make a point of that. Don't cross the line where I'm worshiping something other than God. But look, it even gets better. He said, let me go back to 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God. Because family, just make a note, when we take a stand, things change. People might say stuff behind your back, this, that, the other, but somebody's blessing God because your life has been changed. Somebody's blessing God because of how you're handling and dealing with the situation. They might be talking about you and persecuting you, but they're going to turn around and bless God because of you taking a stand. You're going to bless God, not you. Don't you look for the glory. Let it go to God.
Yes.
Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and has changed the king's word. King said, I got it. We changing this thing now. we're flipping this script. But look what he says after that. And yielded their bodies. That's totally counterculture. They tell you, hey, do anything that you want. It's your body. It's you. You can do this. You can do that. You can have an abortion. You can sleep with a man, woman, or beast. You can do anything. He said they yielded their bodies to God, to serve God. They surrendered their bodies to serve God. Now we have people saying, you know what? I was born a male. But I don't even like the way my body is. I'm going to change it to become a female. It's what the culture tells you to do. Change your body. Don't give it to God. Are you an idiot? This is your body. You can do whatever you want to do with it. It's your choice. It's counterculture. They yielded their bodies. They took a stand. Don't sleep on that. Underline that. You get a chance to read 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 6:19 and 1 Corinthians 3:16, where it tells us that our body is not ours. It belongs to Christ. I know people don't want to hear this today. They don't. You could look around, go to the mall. You can see as much body as you want to see at the mall. Ain't nobody thinking about yielding their bodies. They're trying to give it away. They're trying to entice you to come get some. Just go to the mall. Rose, I went to the mall. Last Sunday, we didn't go to church. Oh, that's messed up. Because we weren't here. But we could have found one. And so we were just, you know, you're on vacation. You never take a vacation from God. We still got up, read our word. We did our Proverbs and all that kind of stuff. But then we went to some outlet in New Hampshire. And it was full. Is this what people go on Sundays? Is that what people do? They go shopping, going after the green and the gold and the clothes. And like I said, you just look around. Nobody's yielding their body. You see as much body as you want to see, even in New Hampshire. You see more body than you want to see. John, I have my shades on. I don't want to see that. Nobody's yielding their bodies to God. Look what he said. He said he yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any God except their own. Teenagers changed the world. They changed the course of history because it changed the king's word. Teenagers, let me read this. Teenagers, underline this. You take a note. I know Sister Brandy, and thank you. You all have your journals and Bibles. Yield your bodies that you might not serve nor worship any God except your own, which we know to be Jesus Christ. That is so powerful. And then here's how they change history. These three young men took a stand. They were around 16, 17 years old, took a stand, changed history. Therefore, I make a decree, verse 29, that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their house shall be made a dunghill or ashes burned to the ground. Because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort, because they took a stand. Because they put God first. And look what happens. And then God says, by the way, I'm going to promote you guys. Verse 30, then the king promoted. We know it was God promoted because the king tried to kill him. King ain't did nothing. It was all God in the midst of everything. Our promotion comes from God. Our blessing comes from God. God uses people, but we know that it comes from God. Yes, yes, yes. This is so powerful. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. I'm going to finish with chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. And this is, as we've been on our series, The New and the Old. And if you can see the new and the old mixed into this, the old man wants to worship idols. The new man should worship no other God except the true and living God. Somebody say amen. Amen. So as I'm thinking about incorporating this, we're going to go back to Colossians. But I'm thinking about hanging out here and mixing the new and the old with this. So we'll see how God leads us as we continue on the series. Chapter 4, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Isn't that something? After all that, peace. That's what we're really looking for. Peace with God, peace with others. But if you have no peace with God, you can't have. Until you can have peace with God, you're not going to have peace with others. That's what the world doesn't get. It wants to fight for peace. Well, you got to surrender to the peace, the Prince of Peace, to have peace. And then you can give peace because it comes through God. All right, let me close this out. Second closing. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Not just given, but multiplied. I thought it good. Listen to King Nebuchadnezzar. Said, I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God has showed towards me. Somebody take this with you this week. Meditate on verse 3. Add this to the list of things that I have you reading. Amen. Because sometimes you just don't know where to start. But this is an excellent one. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And his dominion is from generation to generation. And we'll pick up there next week. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads just for a quick second. Man, God has spoken so much this morning. I don't even know where to start, but let's start with God. Thank you for your word. That as we're going through, people are watching before, during, and after. We are somebody's believer's daily advertisement. Sometimes we'll be the only Bible that someone will read. They're watching us before, they're watching us during the trial, and after the trial. And God, you're using it because someone needs to get rededicated, reconnected with you. So you'll use our life, you'll use our situation for that to happen. Lord, that's a tough one. Because we just want it to be pie in the sky, and we want it to be, God, bless me. And let me show off what God is doing. God said, no, I got to take you through the fire. Because it's not about you. It's about the kingdom of God, and someone who's lost their way needs to find it back to God. And I might have to use your life to do it. God, help us to take a stand. So, God, I want to pray. Maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I just haven't accepted Christ. But today I want to accept Christ. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. God said, God's word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's you, you. And saved just means rescued. Rescued from what? Death, hell, sin, and the grave. God has rescued us. God has delivered us from it. Doesn't mean we don't have struggles. It just means that we are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we transition from here, we go to be with God. If you've never accepted Christ, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I just need to, it's the eighth month, it's new beginnings. I just need to get back on track. I've been off track, but I want to get back on track. I got to get closer to God. I've been caught up with the gold and the green and the other things. But I got to get back closer to God. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm looking for a church home. I've been visiting. I haven't officially joined, but I want to make it official this morning. Not that it saves you, but it's as God leads you, you should have a church home. You should have a covering. You should have people that you're accountable to. Not to get in your business, but to help you reach your full potential in God. If that's you, you say, Pastor, I want to make that decision and join this morning. Elevate your hand. Lord, how we love you, and we're so grateful on today. All the things that you're doing in our life, Lord. In the midst of our ups and downs, our struggles, Lord, thank you for your word. It puts life back in perspective. That we can get through, that we can live victoriously. Yeah, we might seem a little odd because we love Jesus. But so did the three Hebrew boys that changed the course of history. So we thank you on today from the worship to your word. We thank you, Lord. We're so grateful and so thankful for all that you're doing in our life and all that you're going to do and all that you've done. Give us traveling graces as we leave this place, but not your presence. Thank you, Lord. We pray for a restful week, a blessed week, a victorious week in Christ. Let us stand strong when that compromise comes. We're expecting someone to try and get us to compromise. We're aware of the enemies and the tricks and the schemes of the devil. Because of your word, it made us aware. So we're committed to serving you with all our heart, our mind, soul, and strength. We thank you, Lord, that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet. Give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.